Psalm 27, and I don't know why you came to church. I hope you came to hear from God. I don't have much to say, but I trust that God will speak. And the principles that God has shown me through this psalm and whatever are practical. You might want to take a pen and pencil because you won't remember in a time of strife what to do. And we trust that these principles will help you. I've entitled my message, Living Above the Circumstances, or Principles for Daily Life. When I went to Bible college, we were given a model, or they had a model for the class that graduated, and then we were all given a special verse, or two verses, as we graduated from college, Bible college. And mine was Psalm 27, verse 1. And verse 14, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, those are easy words to say. But it's taking me 30 or 40 years to apply those verses to my life. And through the struggles, through the failures, through the defeats, those verses have become very precious to me. And so what we want to do is look at these principles today, and we want to see what we can learn from them. Little background about David. David was a shepherd boy. He wrote a lot of the Psalms, and a lot of the principles that he learned is when he meditated with the Lord, and this is one of them. What do we know about David? Well, when he was a shepherd boy, these are some of the things that we learned about David. Number one, he learned to know God. He learned to walk with God. He meditated. He believed God. He trusted him. He talked to God. He took time for God. And when he was a little shepherd boy, he had an opportunity. When they went to anoint the king, where was he? Taking care of the sheep. All his brothers went ahead, but God looked on his heart. And during those times as a shepherd boy, he knew God, and God. David also learned a lot through the tough times in life. He learned through the tough times that life isn't always easy. It's hard. It's not always fair. There's tremendous battles. But he learned to have victory in spite of the battles. And he learned to walk above his circumstances. So what were some of the things, Calgary right now, they're facing quite a struggle, aren't they? In each of our lives we have struggles. What kind of struggles did David have? Well, when he was a shepherd boy, he met with a bear. He met with a lion. He met with Goliath. Now, Goliath wasn't just a giant. He represented the whole heathen country. And he was willing to face the Goliath. He became friends with the king. But it didn't last too long, and the king turned on him. In fact, his wife that he loved, that he worked for, he got all these foreskins from the Philistines, and for his wife, and she was given to somebody else. Then he was anointed king, and for 17 years he didn't do anything wrong, and he had to run for 17 years. Can you imagine running for his life? He hadn't done anything wrong. Then he became king, and then the battles really started. There were wars. There were battles, there were tests, there were struggles. There was a sin in his life. And not only that, Absalom, his son, tried to take away his kingdom in the later years. And David had to flee Jerusalem because his son wanted the kingdom. What kind of hardships are those? But David learned to run above his circumstances. And today we want to look at it. Let's just have a word of prayer before we do. Father, we want you to come here and speak to our hearts today. Lord, we all struggle, we all face things, but you have promised us that we can live above our circumstances. We pray the principles today will guide us and direct us in the tough times, and that we'll look from your perspective and not our perspective. We pray that you will bind the evil one and loose your Holy Spirit and all outside activity here today, and that we'll hear from you and that you'll open our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Take my watch off. What does it mean? Doesn't mean a thing, but I'll take it off anyhow. Hey, if I've worked 10 hours to work on this thing, you can sit here and listen to it, right? I'm not a real preacher, so this is a real stretch, but I enjoy teaching what God has taught me. So, what did God use in David's life to make him a man after God's own heart and the leader of Israel? What did he use in his life? This is what he used. Trials, struggles were God's tools to make him the leader. He uses circumstances in David's everyday life to mold him and to teach him that God was enough. He used the difficulties of life to ordain him so that David learned to call on God and depend on him and not on his own strength. They were there to teach him that God was there and to let go of himself and to let God do the work. What do you do with the struggles of life? What did he learn? Well, in Psalm 1, if you have your Bibles there, what did he learn? He said, the Lord is. Did you get it? The Lord is. Does it make any difference in your life if the Lord is or he isn't? It's just a two-letter word. And it says, the Lord what? Is. Isn't that powerful? The Lord is. And David learned that the Lord is. He is what? He's God. He's big enough. He's alive. God was with him and would see him through. And he learned that God was all he needed. What about you? Second thing he learned, not only that God is, he learned to make God personal. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Did you get it here? He said, he is my God. He is my light. He is my salvation. He is my strength. And David learned to draw on God's power and not his own. What was the result? Look verse 3. How did David have victory? Because he knew his God. He knew that he is. He made him personal. And then in verse 3 it says, or verse 2, it says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though the host should encamp around against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident. What did David face? He faced all these situations, but he knew God was there. How does it look in practical life? When the attacks of life came, David learned, number one, he learned to apply God's truth to his situation. So, when he was in darkness, when he was lost, he didn't know where to go, he turned to the Word of God and he said, the Lord is my light. When do you need light? In the darkness. And he learned that the Lord is my light. Secondly, when he was weak and he was under distress and he was overwhelmed and he was under the pile, he learned that the Lord is my salvation. When there was no hope and he didn't know where to turn, he said, the Lord is the strength of my life. I have a new life. I have God's life. I have all power there for me. Isn't that cool? Secondly, he learned that God never intended him to handle these things by himself. And thirdly, he learned to cash in on God's promises. And it says here in the last part of verse 3, Though all these things come against me, the foes and the wars and whatever come against me, in this I will be confident. Isn't that a wonderful word? How did he learn to be confident? Because he knew who God was. Out when he was that little shepherd boy, he learned who God was. Have you? Have I? That's page one of my 14 pages. How did he get such confidence? What was his secret? What was his key? His key, the secret to his life, is in the next verse, verse 4. How did he have that confidence? Verse 4, it says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." What did he do? One thing I desire. Not 20 things. One thing is my goal in life. One thing, one focus, and my desire. And he says, that is what I'm going to seek after. Do you know what it was? It wasn't answers to all his problems. It wasn't help me, help me, help me. What was his desire? God. He sought God. You're my one desire. And when he had God in right perspective, what do you think happened to all the other things in his life? They disappeared. And you know, that's the same with us. So his focus was God. He said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord and in his presence. So his goal was to always be in the attitude and the presence of the Lord. Do you know what in Ephesians it says? It says that we have been translated out of this kingdom and we have been placed into the kingdom of his dear son. What's it like up there? It's calm. He's got everything under control. He never intended us to handle the problems. And David learned to rest in his dwelling place where the Lord is. You know, he learned to see things from heavenly provision, or just heavenly outview rather than downward outview. What do when we have the problems? We go to the Lord and we come to him and we say, help me, help me. We're already coming from the area of defeat. David learned to stand in the heavenlies and sit up here with the heavenlies and say, Lord, those things are all yours. You never intended me to handle those. Isn't that cool? And we're up here and we say, God, help me. He said, I've already promised to be your helper. David just learned to say thank you and to draw on God's strength. To dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, how did he get this way? Well, he started the day with God. He closed the day with God. And all the day way through, he walked with God. And he learned to set his focus in the heavenlies with his mind on God. What did he do when he was up there, sitting with the Lord? He beheld his glory and his power and all the beauty of the Lord. When he saw all the beauty of the Lord up there, he had strength to handle all the situations beneath him. And when he had difficulty, as it says here, he inquired of the Lord for truth, for wisdom, and for help. What was the result? Verse 5. It says, he learned to meditate. Up there, so it says, for in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Where? Up there in the heavenlies. In his secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set my feet upon a rock. Who's doing the work in that verse? Who? God is doing the work. Isn't that cool? I remember in my life, for 35 years, I worked hard for God. And I said, dear God, help me, help me, help me. And he helped me. He did exactly he just did what I asked him to. And I worked and I worked and worked. And this message as we go farther is how God brought me into a different way of doing work. He never intended me to work for God. He had this confidence. And it says, in time of trouble, verse 6, now, when times of trouble come, it says in verse 6, now shall my head be lifted up. In times of trouble, when we're mistreated, we're misunderstood, when fears come, when doubts, when cares, when people gossip about us or whatever, in those times, he said, he will be lifted up above his enemies. Verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Wherefore, I will offer his tabernacle of sacrifice of joy and singing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So when he was being attacked and he was struggling and the floods were coming in, you know what David did? He praised the Lord. He thanked God that he was there. He thanked God. You know, do you believe in the sovereignty of God? I mean, the real sovereignty of God? That nothing can touch your life except according to God's will and purpose? Do you believe that? What about Job? How far could Satan go in Job's life? Only as far as the Lord allowed him. So these circumstances and these things come in our life are God's tools to test our faith and test us, to let us get run out of our gas so we learn to depend on his gas. Verse 7 to 9 says, so David, when you start being attacked, start praising the Lord. God, you're here. You can handle it. I can count on you. I'll rest in you. If you're looking at God, you can't be looking at the problem. But if you're looking at the problem, you can't be looking at God. And David learned to praise because he realized that those sources that were coming against his life, God had ordained them and God had the power and he could handle them. Look verse 7 to 9, it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry, you will have mercy. You will hear me. You will answer me. I will seek you. My heart saith unto the Lord, thy face will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away. Thou wilt help me. Leave me not, nor forsake me, O God, my salvation. In 10, it says, even when his father and his mother forsook him, it says, then will he lift me up. So he said, even when my father and my mother forsake me, God will be there and he will lift me up. What did David do when he didn't understand? You know, sometimes we don't understand what God's doing in our life. We don't understand the circumstances. What did he do then? In verse 11, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. So what did he do? When he didn't understand, he said, Lord, teach me. Help me to trust you. Help me to depend on you. Help me to learn to enter into your rest in spite of my circumstances. He said, lead me in a straight path, not on rabbit trails. Deliver me. Help me to make the right choices. He didn't pray, Lord, take me out of my circumstances. God doesn't want to take us out of our circumstances. He wants to give us victory through the circumstances. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den weren't taken out of there. He led them through those things. Why? So that God's power could be shown to the heathen. And he wants to do that in our lives too. When times of despair come and you can't see it all, what do you do then? Verse 13 and 14. There's four things out of this verse. He says in verse 13 and 14, I'll read it. It says, I had fainted unless I would have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, I would have fainted unless I would have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What does that mean? To me, it means he believed to see by faith in spite of what he saw in front of him. He believed to see the goodness of the Lord in this situation, even though he didn't have the answer. He knew that God was big enough, and he said, I will trust you for the goodness of the Lord to work this all out. So he believed without, he saw without seeing, and he believed without seeing, and he believed to see Secondly, in verse 14 it says, he waited on the Lord. So in that situation, when he was despair and he couldn't see, first of all, he believed to see. Secondly, he waited on the Lord. He didn't rush ahead and try to solve it. He waited on the Lord for his timing. He waited, and then it says he waited. He said he waited in the Lord. He encouraged his heart. He strengthened his heart, and he waited. He said, wait, I say, on the Lord. So he waited on the Lord, and he waited in the Lord. Did you hear that? He waited on the Lord, and he waited in the Lord to handle the situation. And then he encouraged himself in the Lord. So application of this, how much time do I have? 5 minutes. Okay, got 3 pages to do 5 minutes. Okay, application. How does this apply to our lives and our situation? Tell you a story. There was a man, he was a farmer. He had this old well that he had, and one day he decided, you know that well, I should check it out to see if it's any good and if I can use it. So he decided to check it out. He wanted to check the walls and check the water and whatever. So he put a board across the top of the well, and he got a long rope, and he tied it on, and he started down, and he was checking the sides, and kept going down, down, down. He got to the bottom of the rope, and he checked it all out, and he says, well, now he was going to go back up. But as he started to go back up, he got tired. And then he realized he didn't have enough strength to get up the rope. So there he was. He couldn't get up, and he was afraid to get down, let go. What was he going to do? And what would you do? He said, Lord, what do I do? And he heard this voice saying, let go of the rope. Oh, he's afraid to let go of the rope. He said, is that you, God? He says, God said, this is me. Let go of the rope. And he let go of the rope. And he fell 1 foot on a solid, firm foundation. You know our problem is? We hang on to the rope. You've always heard, hang on. That's not God's way. God's way is let go of the rope. In our circumstances, when the problems are there, God's ordained those problems to teach us to let what? Go of the rope. And when we let go of the rope, what do we hang on to? What do we hit? The rock. Isn't that cool? We land on the rock. Find my notes here. Where am I at? David learned to let go of the rope in the hard times. There should be a verse 15 here. A verse 15. And this is what I put. God takes you to the end of your rope. That is what he is planning to do. Have you ever realized you work and work and work and work and work and work and raise a little bit and then something shakes and then it's out of control again? You ever notice that? You young guys, you'll notice what that's like as you get older. You work and work and then it shakes and this happens, you shake. God always is shaking our lives out of control. Do you know why? So that we need him. So that we learn to depend on him. And so God's job is causing these things in our life to teach us to let go of the rope. We will never learn God's power until we learn to run out of our own power. Do you believe that? And God's job nowadays is running us out of our power. How's he doing? He's shaking the world, isn't he? He's shaking all our systems are being shaken. Why? To get our eyes off our things that we trust in so that we learn to trust in God. The question in our life is, who is doing the work? You know, in my life, I worked for God. I told you, I said, God, help me. And he did. And I said, Lord, this is so heavy. And you know, I kept working for God. And you know, when we had holidays, we were home missionaries. So you know what we did on our holidays? We went to visit all our churches. That was our holidays for our kids. You know, I thought it was more spiritual to work for God than to be like God. And you know, we started this program called David and Jonathan. It was growing, and it went for 20 years, and all these kids were doing lessons. And then one day, the director came to me and said, Jerry, we no longer see you, or the we no longer see you as a director for Alberta, BC. I said, what? I said, we no longer see you as a director. Was I doing a wrong job? No. Do you know what God was doing? Sending me a personal email. And you know, I sat on this my chair and had nothing to do. What is a man like John Kerr when you have nothing to do? Tough, isn't it, when you have nothing to do? We like to work. We like to solve problems. We like to work. And I was sitting, I had nothing to do. God says, I never had people to work for me. I had them to be like me. God was ordaining the circumstances. Do you ever see those hard circumstances from God? Those are God's tools to let us let go of the rope and to learn to stand on God and learn to trust Him. And there's going to be, I can tell you, there's going to be many things in our life that God ordains. How do I know? There was a David in his life. There was a Job in his life. There was a Joshua and Joseph and a Daniel and a Moses and an Abraham and a Paul. And there's the children of Israel. And they were in Egypt. And God led them out of Egypt. And they got like saved. And then they were in the wilderness. So you're saved. And you're in the wilderness. And what did they do? They only called on God when they needed Him. You know, they did everything, but when they ran out of water and no food, then they called on the Lord. And they handled, you know, many of our Christian church people, they're in the wilderness, and they only call on God when they need Him. You know what happened to all those people? They had to die in the wilderness because they never learned how to draw on God's strength and God's power. And they died in the wilderness. Do you know what God, the wilderness experience is for? Death. Jesus Christ left heaven and came down and He died on the cross. And through death, what came out? Life. And you know, in our life, you know what happens? We need to learn to die. And so God uses, what does He use in our life? Our kids, our money, our jobs, our health, pressures, our wife, our husband, friends that forsake us. He uses all those things as tools to punch holes in our gas tank so that we learn to run out of gas, that we have nothing else to depend on. And we say, Lord, I need You. He says, I've been waiting for that for a long time. You know, we hang on to the rope. And God says, let go of the rope. I say, I got to get stronger. I can't control it. And I work harder. And God says, I don't want you to do that. Isn't that right? Let go of the rope. And what do we fall on? A rock, a firm foundation. It took me 35 years of working for God to learn that. And now in our job, you know, I got a lot of spare time. And so what, you know, I've got about 12 people, 14 people, men that have fallen off the table. Some of them have lost their wives. They lost their kids. They've been successful in business. They've lost their business because they've been Christians and they've had all the head knowledge. And God saved them from their sin, but He never saved them from themselves. God came to save us from ourselves. If their old man could be refurbished, we wouldn't need God to die on the cross. We could just be refurbished. But He said the old man can't be refurbished. He has to be put to death. So you know what He uses? These people in our lives, these circumstances in our life to poke holes in our gas tank so we run out of gas. And if we get tired enough, long enough, we say, God, I need You. That's what life is all about. And that's when you'll never learn to run on God's gas until you run out of your own gas. And life is a whole process because Caleb and Joshua learned to run on faith and trust God, and they walked over in the promised land, and what happened? They didn't have any worries. He says, I'll fight all your battles for you. I will do it all for you. All you have to do is trust and obey. Isn't that cool? And in the wilderness, they had to do everything for themselves, and they only called on God when they were desperate, desperate, desperate. I don't know. I'm preaching. Last little point, and I'll let you go. Listen to this. Time plus pressure will show you your source of strength. It'll be either yourself or it'll be in God. Did you get that? Time plus pressure on our lives will show what source of strength you're living in, either self or God. God is in the business of running us out of our strength. In Luke 6:4, it says, we must come like our master. And if our master had to die on the cross, don't you think we have to learn to die to self, to become like our master? What if you don't? What if you don't learn to die? God said, that's your prerogative. And you know what he'll do? He'll let you run your wheels off. He'll let you run your wheels off. Go ahead. I'll close with this. I've got to tell you another thing. This guy laughs at, Ryan laughs at me.
I'm smiling.
No. Worry, you can't have worry and God. One will be your provider. Which is it going to be? Worry or God? You can't have both. If you've got worry, you don't have God. If you've got God, what don't you have? Isn't that wonderful? And you know what worry is? Worry is a little trickle that enters our mind. And if it's not checked, that worry becomes a canvas or a big hole that all our other thoughts run through. Did you get that? Worry is a little thought that if it's not checked, runs through our mind, making a big canvas that all our other thoughts run through. God never intended us to handle worry. Next time the problems come and struggles come, what are you going to do? Dear Lord, I thank you for this. You have a plan in it. Barb, this is for you. She said, oh. I'd just like to close in one verse. It's in Peter, if I can find Peter. Peter 1:7. Now listen to this. I'll read a couple verses. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye have heaviness through manifold temptations and testings. Then this is the verse I want to leave you with. That the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, that it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. What this is saying is that those testings and those trials are more precious than gold in our life, because they're the things that are going to help us to run out of our gas so that we find the real true riches in Jesus Christ, that we can learn to walk by faith and not by sight, and raise above our circumstances. And everybody said, amen. Ryan, you're on.